The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
What a son of a bitch.
Boy, this is getting weird quick.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
Well, it's one of them times when you probably don't want to live in the mind of old Dirty. It's not a pleasant place to live from a football perspective, obviously. It is not a pleasant place to be right now. I mean, the Texans went out there and absolutely got embarrassed. And here's the thing. Here's the most frustrating part of it for me, Ron. And I'm going to get to this can we fix it stuff. We talked about it last week. And my thoughts on the Texans, and I really felt this in my gut, was that at some point, they're going to turn that corner. Like, I thought they were really close. Forget all the injuries. Forget the difficult schedule. Yeah, whatever. Right? Forget the Bobby Slowick stuff, the struggles. At some point, they're going to turn that corner. Whether it's next year or this year, I just felt really good about, hey, they started trending in the right direction a few weeks ago, and there's a lot more good than bad. And I know we discuss a lot of the bad, but there is some good, and there's a lot to lean into. And on a day where I didn't expect them to beat the Baltimore Ravens, I've said it time and time again, I don't think they're on that level. But I did expect them to go out there and continue that trend offensively, continue to impress. This is one of the worst pass defenses in football. And I'm sure they've been better over the last month or whatever, but this is one of the worst pass defenses in all of football. And I expected the Texans to go out there, particularly in the pass game, be able to do some things that we can lean into and say, boy, that's a plus, that's a plus, that's a plus. It's going to help us in the playoffs versus the Steelers or the Chargers, whoever we catch. Man, we're moving in the right direction. That was my hope offensively. And then defensively it was, hey, man, just stay the course. Just stay the course. Show that you can contain an athletic quarterback, an uber-athletic quarterback. Show that you can bow your neck and you do have the guys to stop a downhill run attack that is – Derrick Henry, and I really, to be honest with you, I didn't think that was going to be. I thought that was going to be for sure. I thought the defense would for sure slow them down.
We sucked.
Yeah. And in reality, what we got was the offense going backwards in a major, major way. The quarterback going backwards in a major, major way, forcing the ball, turning it over, trying to be aggressive again, missing throws, the simple ones and the more difficult ones. That are throws in the ocean, all of which came in a drive and a half span. That when they needed you the most to stop the bleeding because of what Derrick Henry was doing, you know, you're out there missing, the quarterback's out there missing simple throws. The defense got ran through, and they, to be honest with you, it was the fear of all fears with this defense is, could we get to a spot where one of the more physical teams that we bump up against kind of expose that interior presence or the lack thereof for the Texans? And they did that in a major, major way. You got defensive players coming out and talking about the game plan was the problem. And so it ended up being a terrible day when I thought even with a loss, we were going to pull some promise. There was going to be some good things happen, Ron. And I think that brings me to the point of how confident are we that DeMeco can fix this? And I'm talking about fix this for the playoffs. I'm not talking about, I know in the offseason you can shuffle the roster, you can shuffle the depth chart, you can fire coaches, you can do all kinds of stuff in the offseason. I'm talking about, hell, I, as a fan, I don't give a damn about the offseason at this point in time. But we'll worry about that when it gets here. Right now, I want to know what this team's going to do to get this thing turned around by the time they kick off against the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's all I care about. The next time we see the Texans at NRG Stadium, can they fix this thing? Can DeMeco Ryans fix this thing? And this is where the question comes up, because I know a lot of people out there listening are like, man, what the hell is this guy talking about? Here's my frustration. And again, it's been going on all year long, but it becomes a bigger and bigger topic as the losses pile up and as the embarrassing losses pile up. Yesterday, I'm going to paraphrase a bit here, but I'm confident in relaying this message this way. DeMeco Ryans was asked specifically about C.J. Stroud and about the struggles of C.J. Stroud. It was specific about C.J. Stroud missing throws in the game that he doesn't typically miss. And DeMeco Ryans doesn't have the ability or the want to answer those questions, completely duck those questions, right? He was asked, Ron, about why is this football team 1-5 in the 6 games that they played against teams with a winning record? Ooh. Completely ducked it. Don't care about it. Doesn't matter. Right? Completely ducked it. Ron, I don't know that approach for DeMeco Ryans is going to turn things around in 2 weeks and is going to give us a chance to win a playoff game. I don't like what I'm hearing from – we're going to start with DeMeco. I don't like what I'm hearing from DeMeco Ryans in a sense of call it holding guys accountable. Call it calling guys to the table of like, hey man, all of this crap's got to be fixed. Again, whether it's Bobby Slowick, C.J. Stroud, the pass protection, you know, receivers not creating separation, Dalton Schultz just lacking any interest in being physical whatsoever. Like, all of that is just starting to compile, and I just the approach of DeMeco Ryans may be the biggest concern of mine.
Well, it sounds like for you is yes, okay. That's the way he is approaching it with the media, but it feels like your concern, which I think is valid, is it may be, you know, there are coaches and people who and players who say stuff to the media, but that's not really what they're saying behind closed doors.
Yeah.
It feels like to you, and I think there's something to it with evidence and history that, all right, even if he's saying something different behind closed doors and he is holding people accountable, clearly it's not really seeping through, because what we've seen when they say things like this is the same issues continue to come about. And it doesn't seem like whether they're just saying it for us to hear,
yeah,
and or whatever they're handling it behind closed doors, it's not working.
Well, we're beyond.
There's not any major changes.
I'll speak for myself, Ron. I'm beyond listening to what they say. I mean, it's clear that there's one line of thinking for how we're going to treat the offense and how we're going to treat CJ, and there's another line of thinking how we're going to treat the defense and how we're going to handle guys, both the big name guys as well as the depth players. And it's just, I said it last week, I don't believe this team turns a corner until DeMeco Ryans decides he's going to treat the offense the same way he treats the defense. You can visibly see and hear DeMeco Ryans' disgust and frustration when his defense doesn't play good. He ain't got no hesitation talking about guys not being where they're supposed to be, guys not tackling well, guys not swarming. And when it comes to offense, it's just duck the question. And it's been that way for a while now. And the problem with that is, and you just hit on it, is whether the message isn't being relayed behind closed doors and it's okay to keep playing ball the way they're playing ball and handling it the way they handle it offensively, or the messaging is there and the players aren't receiving it well and adjusting. Either way it goes, as a fan, it sucks. You know what I mean? And I don't know, based on what we're hearing, which is exactly what we've seen unfold for 17 weeks. I don't know if DeMeco can. I don't know if he's got it in him to fix this thing in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I don't know if he has it or he has the ability on the team to have that happen.
Well, right?
That's the other part of it. But yeah, it doesn't seem like, you know, obviously there are injuries, but again, yesterday, and I think I heard you say this in the post game. Yesterday, yes, the Texans have a bunch of injuries, and that could go to the point of why he can't fix it in the next couple of weeks. But I mean, the way they were yesterday, I mean, I damn near wonder how different it was if they had some of those guys playing. If there wasn't, because yesterday didn't seem to be about health. Yesterday, not just about health. Yesterday seemed to be about a lot more than just, oh, they just didn't have guys out. Like, when you look at the Packer game, I can get to that Packer game and say, boy, if they had Nico. If they had Kamari Lassiter, who missed that game. Yeah. But if they had some guys, they lost at the buzzer. They could. Now, this wasn't about no injuries to me. This was about, from word go, 7 plays down your throat. And then nothing. And then more and more and more. This was this, and then the way the player spoke felt more than just about injuries.
Yeah, I agree. And you talk about the players, that brings me to CJ, and because it's D'Amico can't do it alone, and it's got to be with CJ. And we talked a little bit about CJ a little earlier, Ron. I'm just talking based solely on the presser. I was bothered by the presser. Most folks probably weren't. There's a lot of folks out there that are, you know, what do you want him to say? I was bothered by it. After that game, my man, and I just listened to a couple cuts a while ago. I listened to the whole thing last night, obviously, and I'm sitting there boiling the whole time. But what
are you looking for?
Well, one, I wanted to see and hear a level of frustration that was dire. That was, hey, man, we're coming down to the wire here. We've got to get this thing right. And instead, I heard a tone of really what he said. I mean, there's several things. It is what it is. It's part of the game. What are you going to do about it? Everything, once again, was more in line with not a big deal, guys. Don't worry about it. We can fix this thing. Again, I said it earlier. He was more upset with Tank Dell's knee injury than he was getting skull drug yesterday.
CJ.
Like, visible. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Like it just, I mean, it should have been very comparable to your best friend having a season ending injury yesterday. Like, it should have been very, and I'm all joking aside, I'm dead ass serious. For anybody out there that thinks I'm comparing a knee injury to a skull dragon of your team, yes. Yeah. When you go out there and you play that poorly and the expectations are through the roof, it should be very, we should hear it in your voice. There should be a damn tear in your eye. There should be a disgust in what you just took part in, and it just doesn't seem to be there. And again, so where I'm going with all that is, I just don't know if CJ is the guy that can fix this thing come playoff time.
Yeah. No, I mean, the way that CJ's playing right now, Clint, I mean, that was what we saw yesterday is, like, he couldn't hit anything. I mean, as he said, I just kept missing. So yes, that guy, and then the guy who is, you know, you do wonder how much of the, hey man, there was a belief of, and I think the guys that came over in the offseason, there was a belief, Dale Bailey believed, there was a belief like, hey,
is that Bailey?
That's Bailey. Hey,
it's good, baby.
CJ, we're okay. We got CJ. Like, CJ, we get in a certain situation, CJ will be there. We got CJ, and we're good. We're good. We give him the ball at the end. Let's get that. We would hear the defense always say, hey, let's just get the ball to 7. Let's get the ball to 7. And I wonder, has that changed? And I wonder the confidence that this team has in, hey, CJ will make it go. CJ will make a play. CJ will do this. I wonder how much how much people and how much the guys in the locker room feel that way about him.
Well, those are the kind of questions that I think are real questions right now, and it's hard to think that one season after those the answers being no doubters, right? I think those are real questions. I just, anybody that watches this team, I think you've got to, at this point, have some real concerns about how good is C.J. Stroud? Who is C.J. Stroud? What, you know, because again, man, dealing with adversity is exposes a man's true character and truly who you are. And, you know, not that he's done anything wrong or been bad, but boy, you'd like him to be the guy that's right in the ship right now. We'll see if that can happen. My point is, and his overall point is, I don't know if D'Amico Ryans, by what he's saying, or C.J. Stroud, by what they're saying, are going to get this thing right come playoff time. But the Texans did lock up the four seed.
Yeah.
Texans are
locked it up.
Locked it up, man. They are playing. Is it locked up being Pittsburgh yet or no? That's not. That has not been a final decision.
No. It could be the Chargers. Could be the Broncos with those
still
those
wide open.
Two games left. Yeah,
still wide open there. But the Texans locking up the four seed. We talked about it last time on the post game show. That means that there's a potential to have a Monday night game.
Could be another
prime time game.
Last year
they chose to go with the NFC 4-5 matchup. But my understanding is that 4-5 matchup is always a Monday night game in the first round. So it could be. It could be the Texans with C.J. Stroud. I think right now, oh, hell, I can't remember. Sean's photographic memory.
It seems like the Steelers are the most.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the NFC. Who? Because it would be one or the other, the 4-5 in the NFC or the 4-5 in the AFC.
Bucks, looking at Bucks or Falcons as the.
It was Falcons somebody, but I can't remember who it was. But
Falcons, it would be like whoever doesn't win the NFC North. It'd be
Falcons, Washington.
Vikings.
No, I'm sorry.
Vikings or Lions.
That's who it was. Vikings. It was Vikings, Atlanta. I believe C.J. Stroud, whoever he's playing, will take that. Will be the primetime game there.
Potentially, Clint. I don't know how great Houston has been on primetime for them for the NFL this year.
Yeah. But I think C.J. is a big enough story. In our business, man, it's just like anything else. When somebody's they got to be really good or really struggling, and it's the A topic, right? And C.J. and the Texans right now, as it comes to playoffs, I would prefer them be the sexy team that's hot and playing well. But the fact that they're playing so poorly, there's several storylines there of how bad they've been against winning teams. What happened to C.J. Stroud? Is Bobby Slowick going to get fired? Can they protect him? That kind of thing. I think there's still some appeal there, especially if you're picking from two games. That's all you got. You got matchup in NFC or a matchup in the AFC. So. We'll see how that all comes about. I just hope D'Amico and CJ can fix this thing before that time comes.
Yeah, we'll see. Hopefully, I don't know. I don't know if it's happening this year.
that
you know, that's the deal. Is I don't know if there's enough time for it to happen this year.
Hell
but
no.
I wouldn't at no point, you know, give up on the kid or say like it's. It's done. Like I just saw somebody texting and said, some people on the internet are saying Bryce was the right choice. Like, no, I'm not in those waters. Like that, like that's nuts. Not in that in those waters. But no, I don't know about it this year. I don't know if they have it. All right, coming up, let's look at the team that has that's doing the best in the city right now. That's the Houston Rockets, and there was a thought that there was a potential addition to the Rockets. Well, now we have more clarity on that, and we'll discuss that coming up next.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings off 290 and Cypress, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome in as we are live. I hope that kid right there don't have NFL aspirations as he's getting carted off as these bowl games are up and going as we're watching it here. And listen, you can watch that and watch everything that's happening in the sports world right here at Buffalo Wild Wings as we're at the Cypress location. TVs all over the place, great food, great drinks. I'm about to get me a drink here in a little bit from Bailey as she is taking care of us as we're having a good time here as well. And you can have a good time too coming up here soon. We will be hooking somebody up with our latest prize. So if you're on the way or you're in, you can sign your name, put it in our raffle box, and have a good time here with us here on The Drive Live. Again, Buffalo Wild Wings here in Cypress. A lot here. We're reacting to yesterday's tough game as the Texans finish that three games in 11 days, and it finishes with an absolute dud. But
oh no,
I know, Mark. But let's swing over to the Houston Rockets, who have the best thing going right now in the city in terms of sports teams. And there is some news. There was news circulating, Clint. Jimmy Butler, don't say from Houston, because he will correct you and let you know he's from Tomball. Jimmy Butler, Miami Heat, 35 years old. There have been reports for a couple of weeks, Clint, that he was on the potential trade block. And one of the teams connected to him was the Houston Rockets. Obviously, he is from the area. This is a team that's competing. And it made sense.
Jimmy freaking Butler!
Well, Clint, Pat Riley, who runs the Miami Heat, says the Heat are not trading all-star Jimmy Butler. As he says, they're going to continue to try to compete. They are not trading Jimmy Butler. All right, Rockets fans out there, 713-572-4610, those of you on YouTube and Twitch, are you disappointed in this? Are you disappointed in the fact that the Rockets, it looks like, according to Pat Riley, won't have a chance to acquire Jimmy Butler because they're not moving him? Are you disappointed in this? Do you think this is the type of player that the Rockets need, a Jimmy Butler?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, Ron.
Because, Clint, we would have said absolutely without a shadow of a doubt last year, the year before, Jimmy made a lot of sense. Seemed like an Ime guy. We would have said yes. And I think now there's at least a fault, a hesitation on that.
Well, I think, you know, a year or two ago, the thought would have been the alpha that holds guys accountable, that weeds out the guys that don't want to be there or aren't capable of helping a rebuild. Now it's just strictly about the player and what he brings to the table, and is he the best that you can do? And I'm talking health-wise and the whole package. Is he a guy that can go get buckets at any point in time against anybody, anywhere? Because really, to me, with this offense, with this roster right now, the only way you move any of the pieces that are contributing is if the return is somebody that can move the needle in that world, which Jimmy Butler clearly can, but is he at a point in his career where there's enough in the tank for that, for the Rockets?
Yeah, see, like, so what is it when you think of Jimmy Butler, what do you think he brings? I think he brings toughness. I think he's a culture setter. And, yes, he's a guy, when Jimmy's at his best, is able to score the ball but also defend really, really well. Now, he is 35 years old, and he has had injuries, and he has not played as much as he had, obviously, when he was younger. Clint, I don't know that they need a culture starter. And
I don't think they do.
You know what I mean?
I love where they're at perspective.
And I think the number one thing that he brings, a toughness, a scrappiness, and a guy that has playoff experience that a lot of these guys don't. Now, that one thing he does bring. Now, Fred VanVleet does, who's won a championship, and obviously a couple of the other guys they brought in last year, that Dylan Brooks, that bring that experience. But I don't think they need toughness, scrapping. If there's one thing that they are, it's tough and scrappy. As you said, man, they need somebody who can put the ball in the basket.
Yeah,
they are more in need of a score.
Yeah, right.
You know, and they've got to make a decision on what they would have to give up to get the next player that they bring in. Is that worth it?
Yeah, it just seems like me, the culture and the core and the identity.
That's not a question anymore.
It's all set. It's all there. It's all, they don't need help in that category. That's why I say, like, if it is, does Jimmy Butler bring the most to the table from a scoring perspective, and can he stay healthy, and how long is he going to be at that level? Because that's really the difference between the Rockets and I think when the cutting time comes and we get down to it, the difference is going to be a lot like the Texans right now. Be honest with you, we You know, they got a good core, good culture, play good defense, get you there. They can get you to the dance.
Well,
but when you get there, do you have the guys that can give you a chance to compete with the best of the best when they're on in the playoffs? And I think that's exactly who the Rockets are right now. And they've got to find, if they make moves and adjust and adjust the roster, it's got to be for guys that can move the needle.
Yes, there, right? and it's what they need, and something if they give up. Because you get somebody of note like a Jimmy Butler or anybody else that could potentially be on the block, right? You're gonna have to give up a part of whatever is the core. Now, obviously not like the two big ones, but there may be a part of what the core is, and that's got to be worth it. And, I don't know Jimmy Butler at 35, who's had injuries, who's not where he once was, is worth it. Someone texting in, Rockets dodged a bullet, 35 and injury prone. Thank God, dude just wants to get closer to home, retire, and chill out. Now, I don't think that's Jimmy.
Jimmy freaking Butler!
Like, I think if Jimmy came to Houston, Jimmy would be all out in trying to go. But, again, I don't know. I remember when he got to a young group in Minnesota and just ran through that piece in a way that I don't want to mess that up. I don't want to mess the chemistry and any of that culture stuff up. Like you said, man, they need somebody that can score. I'm not saying I would do this, but hell, a Zach LaVine makes more sense, even though he's injury prone. He's younger, but he scores the ball. When you watch some of these games, especially that in-season tournament and what they've done. By the way, again, the Rockets are 20-9. They're in second in the West, 3.5 out, right? So they are in a good spot. But what you could see clearly when those games picked up is they got to score the basket. And they're under 100 with Golden State. They just got to score the basketball. So, yes, I agree. The Jimmy Butler thing 2 years ago, hell, last year, that would have made much more sense. I don't know that the Jimmy Butler move makes sense now, because what he brings to the table the most, I believe you already have. All right, let's continue here, as it was very disappointing. Maybe even another term you would use. But what were you most disappointed in yesterday? The offensive performance or the defensive performance? The defensive performance against the Ravens. We'll discuss that coming up next.
What a day.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings off 290 and Cypress, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome in as The Drive continues on a Thirsty Thursday. Shout out to John, our latest winner. Shout out to everyone who's come out. You can still make your way out. I see you out there, Angie. See Melissa. You think we only got one female listener in this
Angie's
piece?
Angie's out there.
Angie didn't shout out there yet.
What up, Angie?
Came up to me and said, "I saw you drag that drink and spill it all over your laptop."
Nice.
But you know what? That's why you go to Experiment Mix West, Houston, and they'll hold you down. They will hold you down. Bad boys working like it should be, baby. And you can get everything you need, all those Apple products right there at Experimex West Houston. So, but no, we're having a good time out here as it is a tough day. But as I saw somebody text in earlier, even with that Ron, you guys helped me get through, which is, I don't know the reason why you have to start
with that. Ron?
Even with that Ron, you guys help us get through stuff like this. And yes, it was a tough one. Whew. It was a disgusting one, and if you missed it, if you missed it and you're a Texans fan, I'm actually glad you did. If you missed it, if you didn't, and you sat through and you saw that 31-2 just dismantling of the Texans, as they were bad on every single part of the game, special teams, offense, defense, coaching, everything. They were outclassed by the Ravens. And I would pose this to you all, and then everybody on deck, all hands on deck, text line, YouTube and Twitch, you can all have a part in this. What were you more disappointed in yesterday? Special teams was bad at times too, but what were you more disappointed in? Was it the offense or the defense? The offense had 211 total yards, 58 rushing yards, 153 passing yards, 5 sacks, 1 turnover. They had 6 punts and no points. The defense gave up over 400 yards, 432 to be exact, and that was with the Ravens completely taking their foot off the gas in the fourth quarter. And when I say completely, they took out all their players, at least all the ones of note, Derrick Henry, Lamar Jackson, players like that. But they rushed for 251, threw for 181, no turnovers. They scored 31 points and gave up 1 sack in this game. So who were you more disappointed in? Was it the offense or the defense? Text in 713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, jump in on that as well. Clint, who disappointed you the most yesterday?
Oh, it's without a doubt the offense. You want an individual or you want this?
The offense performance just disappointed you more than the defense.
They were both bad, but the thought is one, the defense has earned the right to maybe not go out and have their best game, and they deserve a little bit of help. But I think just the way that game unfolded, the offense put the defense in such a bad spot time and time and time again in the first half that it ended up getting completely lopsided like that. Like, if your offense can – that game was within reach to at least not let get out of hand, to give yourself a chance in the second half, to give yourself a chance down the stretch. Whether you look at the Texans not being able to convert fourth downs, not putting points on the board there in the second quarter, or you just talk about missing throws and not converting fourth downs and third downs, and just leaving your defense out there constantly and never giving them a break, never cutting them any slack whatsoever, never giving them any margin of error whatsoever. It's the offense.
I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, listen, the offense was it was bad. I am surprised that it was that bad, Clint, like that that they didn't score, but clearly they threatened to score, right? They had the ball, in the red zone at least once. I rewatched that last night. I cannot believe on fourth down and 4 yards out, CJ threw a pass to Joe Mixon 3-4 yards out of the end zone on fourth down.
Can I interest you in something else that I found very, very odd on that play?
Yes.
Did you see who was lead blocking?
Was it Dalton Schultz?
Uh-huh. Yep.
Wow.
Most important point in the game right there. That was 10-2 game, right?
Was that the play, or do you think that was the design play?
Absolutely.
Fourth and four to have CJ throw it 4 yards out of the
end zone. No, I think he's got options. I think he's got options if he wants to work the left side of the field. But it's absolutely a play where Dalton Schultz is lead blocking for the running back on the swing route, like a swing screen, like a one-man swing screen with the tight end leading the way. Yeah. Like, I talked about this last night on the post-game show. That's the most concerning thing for me with Bobby Slowick. Like, right now, as it pertains to me being a fan and me hoping they can win a playoff game, is like last week with the game on the line versus Kansas City, we go toss, sweep, toss, stretch zone, whatever, outside, whatever you want to call it. It's zone concept, and it's wide zone. And literally, point of attack, Dalton Schultz.
Dang it, Bobby.
I mean, we're still at a point where we think that when the game on the line, running the football behind Dalton Schultz is a good idea. Like, most critical moment of the game. And then that ended up being the most critical moment of the game, because the Texans never had another shot to get it to tie it or even get it to a one-score game, right? We're running plays. And I don't know. The TV copy didn't show what Dalton Schultz did on that play, and whether it was worth the flip or not. But just the thought of calling that play with the game on the line, we are still at that point. Like, Bobby Slowick's inability to adjust in those moments with that particular player is mind-boggling.
Is Slowick losing it?
Yeah, I know it's not where you were going with the conversation. I'm sorry.
This goes to your disappointment in the offense, right? And they were especially bad yesterday. They were. I don't know about you, Tyler. We'll get your thoughts on it here in a bit. For me, it's the defense. I Like, I can, in my mind, maybe I didn't think it would be that bad, Clint, that they just wouldn't score, or hell, go through long stretches where they didn't even threaten against that defense, which, you know, has played better of late, but overall, yeah, the Ravens weren't like the number one defense last year. That's not how they've played through the bulk of the season. But for me, man, I know the Ravens can be good. But damn, man, 432 yards of total offense basically in three quarters. And it got to a point that they were running the ball like so with such ease. I mean it was consistent, man. Derek was not getting touched 3, 4, 5, 6 yards. Mm-hmm. I mean, not touched.
Couldn't stop
down the field.
Run.
And five down linemen still just running right through them.
Yep.
I mean, it was so quick and so like, damn, that's the side of the ball. And hell, I said it. I said, yes, I think right now, I said it going after the Dolphins game. I do think this is an elite level defense. Well, hell, they didn't show that.
We sucked.
Really the last 2 weeks. And like, but just, it was so easy. I mean, it was so damn easy. Like, I mean, some people are talking about Lamar won the MVP or put himself back into it. I mean, yeah, he made some plays, but I mean, he didn't have to be great.
Yeah.
I mean, they could have just. Hannah, we were sitting up in the press box at one point. You said, "Hell, if I were Todd Monken, I would just hand the ball off and run in between the tackles the entire time because they can't do nothing with it." That was. I mean, there were so many plays, like Clint. When I saw Christian Harris couldn't track down Mark Andrews,
whew.
Like, and Mark Andrew was pulling away from Christian Harris. What the hell was that?
Yeah.
On that long pass. And it was just, so the defense to me was the side of the ball that I thought was the group that was clearly the better group, clearly the one that was going to be able to lead the team, right? And some of these drives they had, Clint, it was like, there's no answer. And then it almost looked like the guys just didn't want any more parts of Derrick Henry. And it that so the defense to me, I just had a much higher expectation, thank you, for the defense that it was so, I mean, it was right off the bat. Right off the bat, I remember texting, well, it looks like, judging by that first drive, that the Texans are going to need a big boy performance from C.J. Stroud in this offense because this defense don't seem to have it against this group.
And I mean, I looked up, Ron, and right before the failed fourth down on goal, I'm thinking, man, if the Texans score here, even if they go for two and don't get the two, or even if they kick the extra point, it's 10-9. I mean, the Ravens have been tenfold the better team. And now the Texans are within a point or had it tied or within two, right, if they didn't make the 2-point conversion. Like, this is win, Texans. This has come out of the locker room with your hair on fire type stuff of like, man, we got to take advantage of this. But instead it goes the other way drastically. So, it's 6 one way, half dozen another, man. Offensive unit or defensive unit, they were bad across the board. The most surprising was definitely the defense.
They couldn't do anything unless they were just like I said it to you, boy. I said, well, I mean, they're just taking risks. Will Anderson is just shooting in. Mm-hmm. And then what did we see happen? Lamar then took it for 48 and a touchdown down the line. Like someone just texted in, by the third quarter, the defense was worn down because the offense can't keep drives going. I'm not going to say that that's not right, but I'm telling you, the first drive, 8 plays, and they rolled through it for 5 minutes.
Oh, it was
the next drive,
it was
7 plays. They got 7, 8 play drives in here. It wasn't just the offense not keeping the ball on the field. I mean, it was them as well. So, I'm not going to sit here and say you're wrong, but I don't know. I guess there was a place I could see, Clint, that the offense may really fight it. But I thought we were beyond a place where the Texans defense was just going to get manhandled and just moved and manhandled. So, Yeah, that was that.
We
was,
don't like that.
That was disappointing. Tyler, who disappointed you more, the offense or the defense?
I mean, yeah, the defensive performance was eyebrow raising because, damn. But I'm going with the offense here. Yeah,
damn.
No, I got to go with the offense here because at least the defense did what the offense is supposed to do and put those two measly points up on the board. Like, I mean, it got to a point in the second half where seeing the offense for the Texans run out on the field, I mean, I didn't even have any need to or want to watch that crap. So I'm going to go with Stroud and company on the offense.
No, like I said, it was bad offensively, and I understand that the defense scored because the offense couldn't get into the end zone at the one, but that defense, well, I just couldn't.
That NRG field looked damn good, though.
It did, and the lines, most of them were straight, according to Tyler Milner. I just didn't. I mean, it was just so easy the way that they were able to dominate them. All right, coming up, some good news here in the last few hours for your Houston Texans. We'll share that with you, and surprising news coming out of the NBA as well. We'll discuss all of that as we continue right here live on The Drive.